The sermon for today is Final Checklist. Final Checklist. As the body of Christ finds itself getting closer and closer to the Great Tribulation and what the Bible calls the end time, certain elements begin to manifest themselves within the salvation process. It is now time we focus our attention on these elements. Most of them are enumerated in Matthew 24. Let's read that. I think it's been a long time. I think that many sermons refer to Matthew 24. I think it's been a while since we've read all the way through Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13, But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let them which is on the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field come back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved alive, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles gather together, be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels, and with a sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, and from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus a simple two-part question. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of this world or age? What follows are descriptions of events and admonitions for the time. This sermon will focus on the latter. The five highest end time elements first fruits will face are 1. Deception, or the method. 2. False doctrine, the content of the deception. 3. Brother relations, breaking down. Bitterness, first fruits falling from the faith. And coping with shock mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. What we will see revealed in Scripture is the fact that these elements will dovetail together in various descriptions and manifestations. The end time elements from Matthew 24. Let us see where these are enumerated in Matthew 24. So you have the five elements I just listed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we're going to go through the verses, and I'm going to give you those numbers. So this will now become for you a means of getting back to that list. Verse number 4, take heed that no man deceive you, items 1 and 2. Verse 5, many shall come in my name, items 1 and 2, meaning the deception and the content, the false doctrines, is 1 and 2. Verse 6, wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled. That's item 5, and item 5 is coping. Verse 8, all these things from verse 7 are the beginning of sorrows. That's item 5, coping. Verse 9, you shall be afflicted, killed, and hated. That's items 3, 4, and 5, which is brotherly relations, bitterness, and coping. Verse 10, many shall be offended. That's bitterness, item 4. Also in verse 10, betrayal and hatred by brothers in and out of the church. Again, items 3, 4, and 5. False prophets and deception, items 1 and 2, the deception and the false doctrines. Verse 12, iniquity shall abound, love waxing cold, items 3 and 4. Verse 21, great tribulation on the highest scale, item 5, coping. We have to learn to cope with that. Verse 23, lo, Christ is here or there, items 1 and 2. Verse 24, great signs and wonders, items 1 and 5. So, deception and us coping with that deception. Verse 26, Christ is in the desert or in the secret chambers, items 1 and 2. Verse 29, the sun is darkened, the moon and the stars without light. We have to know how to cope with that. Verses 37 through 44, as in the days of Noah, one taken, one left, and Christ coming suddenly, item 5. Verse 48, my Lord delayeth his coming. That's brotherly relations and bitterness. Verse 49, smiting of brothers, items 3 and 4, which is brotherly relations and bitterness. So, deception, the method, is mentioned 6 times in that Matthew 24. False doctrine, the content of the deception, is mentioned 5 times. Brotherly relations is mentioned 5 times. Bitterness is mentioned 6 times. And coping with the shock is mentioned 8 times. Let's look at the admonitions from Matthew 24. Along with the end time events and the 5 elements listed above, Matthew 24 gives the first fruit a number of admonitions. Let us list those the same way we listed the aforementioned elements. Verse 4, be not deceived. Verse 6, be not troubled. Verse 13, endure to the end. One person once asked me, what's the most important verse in the Bible? Of course, there is no most important verse in the Bible. It's all important as one thing. But he actually asked me what was the most important scripture as it related to the salvation process. I said verse 13 of Matthew 24, endure till the end. Verse 15, watch for the abomination of desolation. Verse 16, if you are in Judea, and I'm hoping none of us are at that time, flee into the mountains. Verse 17, do not take time to get things from the house. Verse 18, do not take time to get your clothing. Verse 20, pray that your flight be not in winter or on the Sabbath day. Verse 23, do not believe lies and false prophets. Same thing in verse 26, don't believe lies or false prophets. And you notice there's this abundance of that being spoken about. Verse 33, look for the events enumerated in Matthew 24. And we're going to look at those in a moment. Verse 42, watch for these events enumerated in Matthew 24. Verse 43 says, watch. Verse 44 says, be ready mentally and spiritually for the return of Christ. Verse 46, be doing the admonitions of Matthew 24 and continuing in the salvation process. Now here's the end time events from Matthew 24. Since we have enumerated the end time events, or end time elements, and the admonitions from Matthew 24, we should complete these lists with the events Jesus described for the end time. Verse 5, false prophets, ministers, and teachers. Verse 6, wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing that clearly. Verse 7, wars, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Verse 11, false prophets, ministers, and teachers. Verse 14, gospel preached to all the nations and the end of the age. Verse 15, abomination of desolation. Verse 21, great tribulation. Verse 24, false Christ, false prophets, and miracles done by same. Verse 27, the return of Christ in the sky. Verse 29, after the tribulation, the sun is darkened, the moon and the stars not giving light. That's when the 144,000 great multitude are called. Verse 30, Christ returns. Verse 31, the sound of a trumpet and angels gathering the first fruits into the sky. When we've talked about who those specific angels might be as it relates to you. Verse 37, the time leading up to tribulation will be just like the days of Noah were. Verse 38, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, i.e. normal life will be going on. Verse 50, Christ returns. And verse 51, the lake of fire for those described in Matthew 24 is falling from the salvation process. I now want to take a look and take each of the 5 end time elements and see what other scriptures outside of Matthew 24 have to say, both to their being these elements and admonitions to avoid their impact in our spiritual lives. Again, I give you the list of the 5 highest end time elements. Again, deception, 2, false doctrine, 3, brotherly relations breaking down, 5, bitterness, or people falling from the faith, and 5, coping with the shock mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Let's take number 1, element number 1. deception. Deception. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. In our recent study of 1 Timothy 1, we see the description of somebody turning aside and giving themselves over to vain jangling. So here we see it clear back in Deuteronomy. People being deceived, turning aside and serving other gods. The vain jangling you see in 1 Timothy 1, of course, would be serving other gods, false doctrines, and that type of thing. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. The second letter to Timothy. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's going to get worse and worse, this idea of deception. It will be worse and worse as we approach and go through the end time, when we go through the great tribulation. Interesting aspect of that verse is the people that are doing the deceiving are also deceived. And I would think of anybody who turns aside from the straight and narrow, the straight and narrow path of the salvation process, would be deceived themselves. They're going to embrace these doctrines as some kind of new truth from Jesus, and shouldn't we all embrace it? Titus 3, verses 1 through 6, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So this is talking, Titus is talking about the fact that once we were in the world, once we were deceived, but thanks to God, through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have something called the salvation process. Matthew 7, 15. So prior to Matthew 24, we have Matthew 7, verse 15. Says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I sometimes have a person call me who waxes eloquent about what they are seeing, which is good and fine as far as it goes, but the person talks to me about what a nice prayer somebody gave, or somebody gave a wonderful sermon, or somebody seems very nice, and all of these things, and everything that she and the person enumerated, it came to me. I said, as nice as those are and would be the fruits of a true minister or a true member in the salvation process, those things are also sheep's clothing. So in and of themselves or by themselves is not enough, because it says that the false prophets will come to you with all of these attributes. So these false prophets, these people with the false doctrines and the deception, will be nice people. If they're in the ministry, they will be speaking nice words, or seemingly very spiritual. But that at being somewhat spiritual, or acting in a religious or a pious manner, is not enough. We have a specific means by which we separate the true ministers from the false ones, and that's close adherence to Scripture. All the other attributes, as nice as they are coming from a first fruit, are also the things you'll see in the ravening wolves of Matthew 7. Acts 20 and verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So where are those people coming from? It says they'll arise from ourselves. So this isn't people from the outside. Acts 20:30 is talking about people within the church shall speak perverse things. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Notice how that 1 Timothy 4 starts out. It says, it's bringing all this up as it says, that in the latter times, and that's what this checklist is all about. We're in a final checklist because we are entering and probably already in those latter times. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now is of a long time, lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 1 John 2:18-21, little children, it is the last time. Isn't it interesting? 1 John, these words were spoken way back in the first century, and it's saying it is the last time. Somebody might say, well, he was sure wrong. Not really, because these elements will enter into the life of the first fruit. Remember, the end time could be the last time you have upon this earth, and you'll be tested in all of these elements, no matter where the actual return, the actual date of Christ's return. We all enter into the last time. We all enter into our own version of the end time because it's part of the process. So you're going to be tried and tested, and there will be tribulation, and there'll be brother smiting brother, and all of these elements that we see spoken of in this final checklist is going to happen to us, both with those days leading up to the return of Christ and at various aspects of your time in the salvation process. And I always want to be, if Christ were not to be returning for 200 years from this day, I want to be acting as if he were returning tomorrow. So, in a way, it is the last time for all of us all the time. These are elements we have to be focused on all of the time, because we don't know when our last day is, and we don't know when the last day of the age is. 1 John 2:18-21, little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that were not all of us. But you have unction of the Holy Spirit and know all things pertaining to the salvation process. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So isn't it interesting? We often mention 1 John 2:20 about having unction of the Holy Spirit, but look at the context of where that is. As a matter of fact, every verse that you're going to receive today, I want you in your own Bible study to not just read the verses I've given you here off the paper. I want you to go and open your Bibles and read the context in which all of these verses are given, because you'll get even more when you read the context of where these come from. You're going to pick up a little bit on that, like in this case, in that we often utter 1 John 2:20, but here you've been given some context. 1 John 2:26, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." So we have to be constantly on guard for those that would seduce us over to some other idea. 1 John 4:1-4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Notice how these verses are giving you not only descriptions of the elements, but admonitions on how you are to react, how you were to overcome the negative aspects of these elements, these end time elements. That's why you have a checklist. Jude 1:3-4. Jude 1:3-4, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm already seeing that happen. I'm actually seeing people that are denying that Christ was ever here or denying his deity. Revelation 19:20, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Element number two. So element number one was deception, or the method by which element number two happens. And you saw a lot of false doctrine being mentioned in those verses that we went through on element number one. This is element number two, false doctrine. False doctrine. Colossians 2:18. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." So you're going to see false doctrine. 1 Timothy again. 4:1-3, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." 2 Timothy 3:1-5. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers." This kind of goes into element three, doesn't it? Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Titus 1, and verse 9, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he might be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And I don't think I have to ask you, how does verse 9 of Titus 1 manifest itself in our lives? How does that work? It says, holding fast the faithful word that you've been taught. That's another way of telling you, immerse yourself in the Word of God, because that's where the sound doctrine is. Titus 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. How are we going to be able to speak the things which become sound doctrine unless we're immersed in the sound doctrine? Element number 3. Element number 3, brother relations, breaking down. For this element, we will focus on the verses arising from Matthew 24 and verses 9, 10, 12, 48, and 49. Verse 9, which speaks to, they shall deliver you up, kill you, and hate you. Acts 5, verses 40 and 41. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So, interesting aspect there. This is verse 41 is part of your coping mechanism, isn't it? This is one that we need to meditate on. These guys, these apostles, were beaten up. Did they stand there and cry about it? I'm sure that they were in pain. I'm sure that there were tears. But how did their coping mechanism work? They counted it. They rejoiced in being beat up. to be counted worthy. God would see me as one that he picked to be beat up, to be hated, to be persecuted. That is something that we have to deal with now. So I told you that all of these elements dovetail together. So as we read these verses, you'll see crossover. So this is brotherly relations breaking down, but it is also speaking to element number 5, coping. Acts 7 and verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now there's a man who knows how to cope. He's being stoned to death. And what is his mindset? He is very much at peace here. He's calling upon God. And I'm sure when he was calling upon God there, he was saying and thinking a lot of things. But the final thing that he thought of was, receive my spirit. He knew that he was dying. He was at peace with that. Acts 12 and verse 1. And I say here, read the context of verses 2 through 5. But Acts 12 and verse 1 says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain in the church. Do you not think that this might be happening now, that there might be certain kings, certain rulers, certain magistrates that are stretching forth their hands to vex certain in the church? Be looking for that. It's already beginning to happen. Very subtly, but it's happening. The church is going to get vexed. And you're going to see that. I feel that it's already happening. I'm seeing things that are beginning to happen along this line that I've never seen in 40 years of being in the church. Verse 10 from Matthew 24, which speaks to many offended, betrayal, and hatred. John, 66 and 67. John 6, verses 66 and 67. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Verse 66 is happening now. And I'm sure that Jesus, right now, at the right hand of God, is asking himself the question that he asked before. It is the question that he is putting to all of us. Just as he said to the 12, it's right here in your Bible, Jesus is asking us the same thing. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So Paul sure experienced this, didn't he? Matthew 10, 35 and 36. See, element number three here, this idea of brotherly relations breaking down, you got to ask yourself, why are the brotherly relations breaking down? It's because of element number four, the bitterness. There's two kinds of bitterness, the attitude of bitterness, but also the root of bitterness, which is false doctrines. So false doctrines come into these people, and then brotherly relations break down. Then element number four, that bitterness and them falling away. Again, you're seeing dovetailing going on here. Again, Matthew 10, verses 35 and 36, For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Speaking not only about blood relations, but about the church household. Your foes will come out of your own families, those in your family that know of your religion. They'll be at variance with you as we enter into the end time because of what we read before about kings vexing the church and vexing certain in the church. Your blood relations will see this, and they'll be upset with you, and then people who are falling from the faith in the household of faith will also do that. They'll be against you. From verse 12 of Matthew 24, love waxing cold, we have Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. And by the way, that first works is saying, look, get back into the elements of the salvation process, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except you repent. So clearly that's a letter to the church at Ephesus, but it is a letter to everybody who enters into this Ephesus kind of thinking, this losing of their first love, the love and embracing of those elements of the salvation process. Hence this checklist. Revelation 2 and verse 10, Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But then what does it say? It says, But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So if that happens to any of us, we are to be at peace and understand. See how this goes right over to element number five. You have to be able to cope with this and be faithful unto death. Verse 48 of Matthew 24, My Lord delays his coming. This is a bad attitude. Bad attitude. Ezekiel 12. And I'm going to give you from Ezekiel 12, verses 22 and 27. Verse 22, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? So you're going to hear this. You're going to hear this from your brother, and as these relations break down, this is what you're going to hear from your brother. Ah, man, this is all a bunch of hooey. It's not happening. The days are prolonged. We're going to go on forever. I heard one guy say, Christ is not going to return in my lifetime. Is that a good attitude to have? Is that a statement that you want to say before the throne of God, even if it were true that he wasn't coming back for another 1,000 years? Do you ever want to be on record as having said that? I want to be continually saying Christ is returning tomorrow. He's returning in 30 days. And, you know, and then have, if it were so possible, have Christ say, well, you sure were an alarmist. I would rather have him say that, and I know he wouldn't say that, than to have him chide me and rebuke me for saying these kind of words. Verse 27, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesied of a time far off. So here I am preaching to you from Matthew 24, speaking of the end time. Chris is giving a sermon today on a checklist for the end time. Well, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen in my lifetime. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 5. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, meaning the fathers, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So you're going to see these things spoken of. Christ not coming back anytime soon. You know, it's nice, I suppose, to address these issues, read your Bible now and again, but nothing's going to happen real soon. Verse 49 of Matthew 24, brother smiting brother. I got an Old Testament and a New Testament. Isaiah 66 and verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. So for those brothers that start smiting brothers, they're going to be ashamed. For those that are saying, oh, Christ is not returning anytime soon, and then Christ returns soon, they're going to be ashamed. They're also going to find, probably, that their lamps are lacking oil. But you shall be glorified. It says, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, so you'll be glorified. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 20. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. So that verse is speaking to the end time, and that it says, for you suffer, and then gives you a whole list of things on how you're going to be suffering. Bondage, your fellow brother and people in the world are going to devour you, they're going to take of you, they're going to exalt themselves, and they're going to smite you on the face. And that will be verbally, if not physically. Element number 4 is bitterness. Bitterness is what enters the heart of the first fruit as he or she begins the falling away process. Bitterness is about first fruits falling away, and this will be a frequent thing we witness in the end time. We must prevent it residing in us for even one day. Either the attitude of bitterness or any root of bitterness, which is false doctrine. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, like with papers about new doctrines. For that day shall not come except there coming a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Hebrews 3 and verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So that's a part of your self-examination. Also, the examination as you see false doctrines coming into and what their source might be. Hebrews 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 12, 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So there you see the root of bitterness being false doctrine and defiling people. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. You know what this is speaking to, and we've given you this verse in another element, again showing you the dovetailing, but this is showing people that I have spoken about in the congregation, some which are falsely converted, some who are fallen away and still attending, others crept in unawares, that's what's being spoken of here, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And that's not just speaking to ministry. Anybody who picks up a false doctrine paper is going to and tries to purport it, try to share it with you, is going to be a false teacher, who privately shall bring in these damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken thereof. And you're noticing a repeating of scriptures as we go through these dovetailed elements. And that's because the verses speak to more than one of those elements. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There was even an incident in the church where this happened down at Pasadena. The story was given to me when I was at Pasadena and heard this story. And I think I heard this from more than one source, but there was a guy that stood up in the congregation one day and said that that he had words to the effect that he had reached perfection, that he was above it all, that nothing could harm him, that he had reached some high level of perfection. And all of a sudden he went falling to the floor. He was knocked down as if something came into the room and knocked him on his behind right before all those that he had just spoken to. That really happened. And fulfilling, I suppose, in one aspect, 1 Corinthians 10:12, take heed, this man was not thinking right, and he got to fall. And I would rather have him fall that way. In other words, you better smarten up and rethink that than actually falling. Psalms 18, verse 21, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from God. Ephesians 4, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That is one of your admonitions for this element of bitterness. It says, let all bitterness, both kinds, root of bitterness, and you can see in these other words, false doctrine. So we got the attitude and the false doctrine. Put it away from you with all malice. Acts 24:16, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Element number 5, coping with the shock. We have to start thinking along these ways, because this stuff is going to shock you. We can speak to it, we can give lip service to it, but if we're not really getting ready to understand what's going to happen, and you're going to be shocked as much as we talk about it, but I want you to redouble your efforts. And if you haven't thought along these ways, we have to start coping or getting ready to cope with the shock. Things are going to happen that you're not even going to believe. The way you cope with the coming shock is to know that it is coming. prepare yourself for it happening and invoke faith. It is Matthew 24, verse 6, where Jesus says to you, see that you be not troubled. Is that just nice words from Jesus Christ, or is he telling you to take action? Not that I necessarily advocate this for every first fruit, but one of the things that I did and have continued to do is I've looked at the horrendous things that took place in and around World War II. There are many, many documentaries on Hitler. There are many films about Hitler. There are many films about the Third Reich. There are many films about Auschwitz and the other concentration camps. You want to see the shock, the horror of it all? When I see those, I get a real feel. I get shocked by that. We've heard of these things. We've seen it spoken of maybe in a news story. Maybe you've seen a couple of shots of Auschwitz. But when you actually see a documentary that goes through what was really going on and what people put themselves through, and when you hear the survivors talking about it, you'll be having this feeling. You'll start learning to understand what is coming, because whatever happened in World War II is but a foretaste. It'll be 10 times, 100 times worse. Psalms 27 verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and mine foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. There is meditation for you. There's all kinds of aspects there on how we are to cope. Get ready to cope with this. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noiseless pestilence. And there's many ways he could do that. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Says you're not going to be afraid. That's called coping. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Do you not think that if 1,000 fall by your side, you might be shocked? He's giving this to learn how to cope. 1 Peter 3, verses 14 and 15. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. There's the key. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of your hope that is in you with meekness and fear. A lot of that's going to go on in the end time. There's going to be people coming to you wondering why you're so happy, why you're at peace with all of this. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 and 2. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Luke 21. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And I'm reading verses 17 through 19 of Luke 21, which corresponds to Matthew 24. Verse 18, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess you your souls. There's where I want you to go in and read context. Read about what happens right after, in your patience possess you your souls. That patience is you coping. Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a very wonderful work of God. It's a wonderful book. I gave a whole graduate speech from Habakkuk, what Habakkuk was about. This is about Habakkuk. He's actually asking that Israel kind of get a swift kick in the butt for all of their sins. But then when God shows Habakkuk how he's going to do it, he tells him that he's going to use the Chaldeans to punish Israel for their sins. They go, no, not them. Wait a minute. I mean, I was speaking to some of the sins that Israel was doing. I wanted you to punish them, get them back on track, but not with the Chaldeans. But then God sets about and tells him throughout the book, as you will read it, that all things are going to work out here. But he says in Habakkuk 3, verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he shall invade them with his troops. You see, he's scared out of his mind about the Chaldeans coming, because they were, at that time, possibly the most wicked people on the planet. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So here's Habakkuk, out of his mind that he maybe bit off more than he could chew here, in asking God to punish Israel, and he's bringing in the Chaldeans, and he's shivering. I mean, he cannot believe it. He's in shock. But then he comes back. He comes back, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit that's in him. He says, wait a minute. And so welling up in him is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you're going to cope. You're going to invoke faith. And it says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So here is your checklist. All five elements can be stated in a short checklist. The five highest end time elements, first fruits, will face deception, the method. Be fully immersed into the Word of God, because that Word of God shows you all the means of deception. It shows you all the methods. So if you're fully immersed in the Word of God, you're going to recognize the deception, the method of deception. Two, false doctrine, the content of the deception. Be fully immersed in the Word of God, because therefore you will know sound doctrine. You will continually be bringing in the sound doctrine and learning what false doctrines are. But you will then be able to separate the two, recognize the two, and only bring in the good, the Word of God, and it will push out the false doctrine. So be fully immersed. So full immersion in the Word of God takes care of one and two. Three, brotherly relations breaking down. Be not easily offended. Take the wrong. You saw in all those verses, you're going to be taking a lot of wrong. Take it. Don't fight it. Resolve the issue, Matthew 18. Forgive. Lift up your brothers in the faith. Cover their sins in the blood of Christ. It's a mental exercise that you do. You can invoke the blood of Christ. As you see your brother sinning, you cover it. You mentally cover it with the blood of Christ, which is in abundance. You cover it and that you see that in your mind, as if you were holding the blood of Christ in your hands and you lay it upon their sins. You saw Stephen do this, lay it not to their charge. Bitterness, first fruits falling from the faith. Avoid false doctrine. Avoid vain jangling and debate. Do not enter in debate with the people. Stay distant from those departing from the faith and who no longer hear sound doctrine. Displace bitterness and the root of bitterness by increasing amounts of the Holy Spirit. Stay in the salvation process. 5. Coping with the shock mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Invoke faith. Know and understand what is coming and prepare yourself on all these levels. Pray to God for strength, refuge, and providence. So go now and prepare yourself for the end time and invoke the final checklist.